Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Still want to be a head coach again someday.
If that's in the cards for me, then that's great.
Bye-bye.
Who are you talking to? I got 5 Super Bowl wins. Who are you? The reason you got a job is because of me.
It's quite fascinating. What a failure. A road game in Miami could be the difference between home field advantage and a road game in January.
Do the Dolphins beat the Patriots this weekend?
I don't think so. Chalk that up as a loss.
Suck on it.
All right.
Have the Dolphins been a good football team?
No! Stop it!
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, the Red Sox finally do something today in signing Nathan Eovaldi, and we're talking about it at 617-779-7937. It seems interesting so far. Some people think it's a good deal. Some people, not such good deal. Here's Jay in Providence. What do you think?
Hey, I don't know. I just want to answer the question real quick first. Is it worth it? Do they overpay him? I mean, that's something that's going to change start to start. You know what I mean? That's something that's not – we're not going to be able to figure that out until the contract's over, but
yeah, when you're doing a deal up front, you've got to put a value on the player, right? I mean, we talk about this all the time with the Patriots. There's certain value they pass on players all the time that come right in here and are really good, but they do it because they're sitting there going the rest of the team. Now, there is no salary cap in baseball, but there are limits to what your budget can be, especially with the luxury tax.
And this is what I think it ultimately comes down to. I think we're looking at a team that's not built to win 3-1 or 2-1. This team is built to win, to score 6 runs. So if Eovaldi can go out there, pitch 6 innings and give up 3 runs, that's good enough. They should be able to win that game if the bullpen can keep it together. And we should be grateful. I think we're absolutely grateful to have Nathan Eovaldi because,
grateful,
like I said, this team's going to score a lot of runs. I mean, we have to realize at some point that we just watched, one of the best teams.
But Jay, when you go and pay a guy $17 million a year, you give him a total of
money. I don't know. It's not my money.
It is. That's the problem. That's the problem. Yeah. It's hard to sit here and discuss.
I understand it though, because that's easy, right? There's no salary cap in this league.
Except there is, though. There is a budget, and they have a budget, and they can only go so far. And, you know, I know most people are going to say that, but you can't look at it that way. You can't sit there and say it's not my money, because we're talking about there's still a puzzle you've got to fill out with every single player and the value of those players. You can't just spend $500 million. And so next year you've got J.D. Martinez. Then you have Betts. Then you have Bogarts. You have all of these other guys you're going to have to sign.
Yeah, but
you're not going to score 6 runs a game if you start losing some of those players because you've overpaid somebody
Eovaldi
else.
Is not going to cripple you. Because I'm looking at you and right. I feel sorry for you. You should get a handicap sticker, though, how long it takes you to get out of your car.
You can go to Disney.
You could, and I got a guy who's going to hook you up.
I know you.
But you keep referencing, like, oh, we have these guys to pay, and after 2019, oh, no, what are we going to do? They're all going to be gone. Probably, some of them. But Eovaldi won't be the reason why you can't pay them. Agreed?
Well, but
agreed.
Bad signings.
Yes or no?
Bad signings are the
would
reason.
Eovaldi,
you can't do that.
Okay. There's risk with everything. Like J.D. Martinez could, you know, slip a disc in his back and never be able to hit
Christian,
the baseball
why don't we
again,
just
okay?
go sign everybody?
So don't sell.
Why don't you sign Bryce Harper?
There's a ceiling
to all of this.
Okay, but you keep referencing all these guys that are going to be coming up and going to be free agents.
Correct.
And you're acting like Eovaldi's new contract is going to be the reason why they can't sign Mookie Betts.
Every contract they sign is a factor in signing those
I know,
other guys.
But is Eovaldi such a bad deal, in
why
your opinion,
they, why
that they won't be able to sign Mookie Betts?
Why are they not going to sign?
Oh, my God.
Why are they not going to sign Kimbrel right
question.
Now?
You ask me a question.
And I answer with a question.
You're why
are they not signing Kimbrel? Because Kimbrel may be one of the best closers in the game.
Is Eovaldi going to cripple you?
Because they want to get somebody.
Is Eovaldi going to cripple you?
Glenn, will you just say no?
Just say no. It's not right.
It's not going to cripple you. I already said it.
No. So stop referencing. Stop referencing all these
rhino
contracts.
Does the rhino have ears?
Is little Earl so insecure that he can't just take a stand on one side or the other?
Crippling may be a stretch. Crippling may be a stretch.
That is not a rhino sound.
What is that?
That is not a rhino sound.
Here's Jeff in New Hampshire. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So, you know, I'm concerned about Kimbrel, and for not signing Kimbrel. What are we going to do about a closer? And I wonder.
Sign them all.
I don't know if this is completely crazy,
but
Chris Sale, first half of the year always looks like an MVP candidate. The second half of the year his durability is just terrible. Would it ever be considered a good idea to convert him to a closer if he would ever do it? Would he be a lights out closer? Would that allow him the ability to sustain that?
Why would he do it? Why would he do it?
Here's the problem, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, he's going into his free agent year. He's been one of the best starters in the game. He does have durability issues. I think you go back to the drawing board as far as game plan goes. How you? Because I don't think Chris Sale is going to sit there and say, "Yeah, you know, I've been playing under this contract, making 12.5. I've been the starting pitcher in the All Star game the last 3 years. Bobby, leading Cy Young candidate going into the month of July, maybe each and every year of it. I don't know, but why would I want to be a closer and get myself into a market of 15 or 16 a year where if I can just mess with my off-season workout or how I'm used during the regular season or as far as velocity goes in those months that I really amped it up, I could be on to make 5 years, $150 million instead of five years, 80.
They're not going to. He's going to want starter money. That's what it comes down to, Jeff. He's not going to sit there suddenly and say, you know what, I just want to be a closer. I could do a lot less. I don't need all this money. And matter of fact, if anything, he's been one of the most, if not the most underpaid guy in Major League Baseball over the last 5 years.
My biggest issue, Christian, I think, is just, you know, you sort of, the more you talk about it, you narrow it down. $17 million for a starting pitcher that I don't believe can be a starting pitcher for you consistently because he's never shown it. So, you know, if he had in his career, you know, a Tommy John and then mixed in a season that cost him a year and a half or whatever, and then the other seasons he gave you 200 innings and 200, you know, kind of like Corbett, you know, then I would sit there and say, okay, $17 million, fine. Take the ball 30 times. I don't think he can do it once.
So, would you, let alone three or four years. Do you compare him to Larry Brown?
Larry Brown?
The dude from the from the Dallas Cowboys had one big, great, had one really big game.
You really can't.
No, but really.
You can't do that.
What happened with Larry Brown?
No, it's bad.
So Larry Brown has one unbelievable game, gets two interceptions off O'Donnell, was it, from the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think it was? Yeah. And they weren't even like Malcolm Butler-type plays. Like, the receiver ran the wrong route, and he was just standing there and ran him back for touchdowns. Right. Gets this huge contract from the Raiders. Never pans out. Never does anything.
It was the Raiders, too. Let's remember that.
I mean, so they were chasing it, and they were a victim of the moment, right?
Everybody said this guy was stupid at the time. People said it was stupid at the time.
Okay. And people are saying this is stupid.
Yes.
So, okay, because there's no track record.
Right. See, I want to sign guys.
So what is it?
Christian, let me ask you this. If at the end of this year, and I don't even know if he's a free agent or whatever. Let's say, take anybody. Let's say Jacob Hollister gets an opportunity at the end of this year because Gronk's not that healthy. And Jacob Hollister goes out in the next four games and then through the playoffs, and he's unbelievable. He really does unbelievable stuff. Are you suddenly going to go, and if he's a free agent in this offseason, I don't know if he is, are you going to go and pay him a fortune, or is another team going to pay him a fortune?
It's different with with football. It is. So you're telling me he's in
That's why I just said Larry Brown doesn't work.
The point is, the comparison is you have one big game, right? You have a good playoff season. And I would say that they would not pay Jacob Hollister. They would not have done that. He would have gone out to the open market.
So football is much different. So what I'm saying with baseball,
but there's
is,
also a hard. There's an actual salary cap where with the Red Sox isn't.
Okay, I give you that.
So it's hard to sit there and you're not comparing apples and apples.
There's still a budget. There's a luxury tax. There's a loss of draft picks. The game has changed where you can't go too high. You've got to be careful on where you go because then you're paying double and triple for some of these
guys. Well, it's like last offseason, we look at the Red Sox. We knew where their salary was, right? They were going to end up being you know, just under that 237. So in the offseason, they lose Addison Reed. They don't go sign another reliever. They say, you know, let's just take a look at what we have, and hey, if we got to go over, we'll go over. But if we don't want to, we won't go over now. Maybe we'll in a regular season, or you know, when we get to the All-Star break. And they eventually did go over because they thought this team was good enough to invest. But there is a reason why they didn't go out and sign that reliever in the offseason, because they didn't want to go over that number. You know, so that's going to come into play again, Lou,
and especially over the next couple of years when next year you're going to have to pay J.D. Martinez maybe close to $40 million.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, there's no question.
Okay. So Evaldi really screwed it up.
He does. No, no, no. There's got to be a value to him. There's got to be a value. You've got to, you know, attach a value. And I think the value is inflated based on what he did in the last 5 weeks.
I guess the question would be,
5 weeks, would you not invest, 7 years before that.
Would you invest in like a high ceiling, or would you invest in consistency? Because, you know, I mean, I think he's got the high ceiling, but there's no consistency whatsoever. As opposed to, say, Porcello, where there is consistency as far as taking the ball goes. And maybe the ceiling isn't as high.
Yeah, but okay, so what's the floor, though? I want to know what the floor is.
The floor is 100, he can't pitch?
The floor is 110 floor is, innings, yeah. 20 starts.
No, the floor isn't he can't pitch. I mean, it's...
What do you mean he can't pitch? No, he's gone through two Johnny John surgeries, and he's had another elbow.
We're going to assume everybody's healthy. All right, and then no, you know what? And David Price, couldn't feel his fingers, and has allergies. Okay, Christian, so what are we doing here,
Christian?
You
he
can't
hasn't...
keep using injuries and illnesses as an excuse.
He's got 850.
We're gonna use the template that everybody's healthy. Okay, okay?
You can't do that.
But then you can't use it with David Price. Then
part of his history. Part of his history is
can't use it.
I can use it with David Price because David Price has been healthy.
The biggest reason is that
I can't use it with Evaldi because he hasn't been healthy.
His injury history is not part of the Boston Red Sox. You know, this is sort of like when Ellsbury was up. You want him? No. Why? Because his history is here in Boston.
Exactly.
Is that he gets hurt all the time.
And the Yankees overpaid him, and they didn't take that into consideration.
So it's when you say assume everybody's healthy. That's like going into the year saying assume all the Patriots are healthy. And I sat there and said, yeah, but do you really believe that Gronk's going to remain healthy? You know, so if you have history of not being healthy, that's what we're getting at.
You have to.
They invested $17 million for 4 years on a guy that has yet to show that he could take the ball consistently.
Let me go back to the phone calls. Here's Michael in Blackstone. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Wow. Hello, hello.
So I wanted to say that.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Hi. Okay. Am I on?
Yeah. How you doing?
Yes, you are. Continue, please.
So I wanted to say that. I would want Nathan Eovaldi on my team. Well, that nice. It wasn't just his performance. No. It was the fact that he could have had his own starts if he had a bigger ego in the World Series, in those playoffs. But he wanted to go in and relieve in key situations, and then his performance came sparkling.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I understand any of this.
That would be a comfortable sweater.
I mean, thank you.
I'm not sure I understand this, Michael. So you're saying because he didn't have a great ego, that's why he deserves this money?
So you talked at the end of the World Series about how Dave Roberts, you know, played everything so straight. They didn't risk their pitchers or anything like that. Nathan Eovaldi put his arm on the line. So did.
But we all agree with this, though. Here's the deal. Eovaldi, you don't win the World Series without Nathan Eovaldi. Okay, we all get that. We understand that. Both starter, bullpen, he did it all. Does that overshadow the track record he has in 7 years in Major League Baseball to the point where you're giving him close to $70 million over the next 4 years? You're gonna take 5 weeks or 4 weeks, 3 weeks, and say, that's enough for me to give $70 million to this guy. You're going to do that.
I think I want that guy on my team.
Okay. We'll go.
I'm hearing he wants to go to the Knicks.
Does sound like Jimmy Stoic.
I felt like we were doing like a late night, you know, like a call-in show.
Tell me that.
I'm unaware of that.
I'm hearing that Kyrie Irving is going to be traded by August 1st.
Never happened.
He wants his own team. The truck for a minute. And he knows it's Brad Stevens' team and not him.
Never happened.
That's my insider.
How could you be an NBA insider when you virtually got everything wrong about everybody on that team, didn't he? It was unbelievable. You look at the track record. And they still go to him and say he's an insider.
I have sources.
Here's Jim in Florida. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Jim.
I got to say, the Tommy John surgery, so he had two, okay?
Yeah.
So, but... there is a history that guys do come back stronger and better after the surgery. But, okay, so the first one didn't go well. So the second one went well, okay?
Right.
Now, if you look at his history, yeah, okay, this over seven seasons, yada, yada, yada. But if you look at the last season when he pitched with Tampa and they were probably watching him and monitoring him, you know, and looked how well he was pitching and probably went back and watched every game over and over and over again before they made the decision to get him. You know, I think over a year span after surgery, and he comes in, and he's healthy as an ox, and they say he's one of the best, I think, what was it, athletes in the clubhouse, mm-hmm. compared to most of the ball players. One of you guys picked on him, I think, during that conversation with Cora about they said he's like the best in the gym. You know, he's like the great athlete. And one of you guys picked on him for that.
So what is the point? What is the point here? Because you're going through the whole history.
Saying that he comes back strong with with this, and he had a whole year to prove himself. And I think they're looking back at the whole year, not just.
Well, then, if that's the case, but oh, Jim, if that's the case,
away in 5 weeks,
Jim, if that's the case, the whole year was not good. He was not good all year long. He was good for a few starts. He was 3-3 with the Red Sox in the regular season. All right, couple starts he was good, and then he was great in the postseason. Not good, great. So is that a small little snippet, or is that what he is? Are we gonna compare 7 years in the big leagues versus 3 weeks?
How was he? Excuse me. How was he in Tampa?
4-2-6.
Not too good.
Not bad.
Not too good?
No.
But he's just coming off surgery. And then I guess basically you think they would have went out and traded for a guy that just sucked? You know? No, they must have known.
No, they could only trade in a certain pool. And I think that, they looked at Nathan Eovaldi and saw the upside. Saw that he was throwing the ball real well and said, this is the guy that we can have as a swing guy.
Yeah, flexibility.
I mean, they even said it. Yeah. They said, this is a guy. You've got to remember why they got him in the first place. They actually had to. And I think part of it was, do they get a reliever or a starter? Right? Sale was banged up. It was probably right after that when they made that trade. It was when Sale went down.
Erod went down, too.
But right when they made that trade, Erod was out. Steven Wright was out. You had Brian Johnson, you had Hector Velasquez as mainstays in this rotation. They said, we got to get another starter. And then when Erod comes back, and if Wright comes back, now we might have got our reliever. He serves two purposes in the postseason. He was absolutely outstanding in those first two starts, if you remember. Minnesota and the Yankees, he went absolutely bananas in his first two. Then over the course of his next nine, he had a 4.62 ERA.
Yeah.
So he was, dynamite. So you don't want to just discard everything. You could sit there and say, well, with the Red Sox, the guy had a, 3.3 ERA. Because his first two, he went 7 scoreless and 8 scoreless. But going into the postseason, again, 4.62 in his last 10 appearances.
But all they remember is the postseason, Lou. And he was great in the postseason. And that's what they remember.
Oh, he absolutely was a monster.
But how do you come to the conclusion, based on a postseason that lasted 3 or 4 weeks, versus 7 years of his career, that the guy is suddenly worth
$70
million?
Timing.
No, it's great for him. You're right.
God bless
him. It's phenomenal for him. But
that's how
I understand swaying the fans. I understand swaying the media, but you're swaying the Boston Red Sox to the point where they're ready to give you $70 million.
Yeah, to the tune of about $3 million more, maybe, and then one year more.
Well, maybe two.
One
years.
One year. Well. 3 years. Like you said, if you want to sit there and say 3 years, 12, 3 years, 13 is Nathan Eovaldi, they went 4 and they gave him 17.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody would have given that to him back in September. Not a single team in Major League Baseball would give him anywhere close to even 14, even 3-40. Nobody was going to do that back in September. All right, quick break. We're right back to the phone calls.
I would want Nathan Eovaldi on my team.
You have beautiful skin. That would be a comfortable sweater.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, gentlemen, let's rip through these phone calls. We'll get into talking a little bit about the Patriots coming up in the next hour. Plus, Lou's guy down in Miami can hardly wait. Here's Joe in Boston. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
what's
Joe?
Up?
I take that risk on Eovaldi any day, more so than Corbin for 6. I think Corbin pitched through a lot of sliders last year, more than he's ever thrown, and who knows what his shelf life is going to be like. But his first Tommy John for Eovaldi was a repair, as I understand it, in high school. It wasn't a full-blown replacement. So, you say two Tommy Johns, but really, it's probably one.
I mean, anyway, you splice it, Tommy John.
I think it's two Tommy John.
I mean,
yeah.
Well,
it is back before he was in before the draft. You're right.
It was in high school.
Yeah, but it was
a repair.
It
wasn't a replacement. It was a repair.
All right.
So it's the same UCL that blew. So that was one time that it really blew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
So you're banking a lot, though. You're banking on you've got a 7-year career out there. That's a sample. You know what this guy is. And to me, you're just overpaying him based on those 7 years. So you might be right. Over the next 4 years, he could be the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. This could be a steal. But if I'm paying somebody, I'm basing it on a 7-year sample. I'm not basing it on a 3-week sample in which he was unbelievable. And that's what I think they're doing.
Pitching wins championships, and I don't think John Henry wanted John Lester on his hands again. And on the big stage.
I don't know what John Lester has to do. John Lester was great here.
What does that mean?
What I'm saying is he let him go.
He let him go, a guy who had a track record. That was a huge, gigantic mistake. Huge mistake.
This just comes down to taking the ball. I know you say, you know, Corbin. I don't know why you're worried about too many sliders.
Yeah.
You know, too many splits. That's a different story. You know, that's stress on the elbow. But sliders, what are you worried about that? My only thing is that it's just more of, are you signing him to be like, okay, now we have a starting pitcher under control for the next 4 years? The problem I have with it, it's a starting pitcher that has never been reliable as far as taking the ball. Now, there's a huge upside. The guy was dominant. The stuff is electric. It was awesome.
3 weeks.
We can debate whether it was, you know, he had two Tommy Johns, and he missed another month and a half, was shut down because of elbow inflammation another year. So there's a history of not being able to get through a season, even though he's a big, strong kid who was electric late in the year and had plenty left in the tank. It's just an investment you look at and say, I don't think he takes the ball 28, 30 times.
Louis, it. Plenty left in the tank, as he only pitched 111 innings. So sure, you're going to have plenty in the tank. But if you're going to pay a guy that type of money, I'm expecting to get close to 200 innings out of him. Here's Josh in Maine. Hi, Josh.
Hi, guys. Real quick statement, then I just want to hang up and listen. I really like Chris Sale, but I also don't want to hamstring the budget. I say give him a 6-year contract to keep him, front load the money something fierce, so you can get out of him if you need to, and then offer him a lot of incentives later on in his contract. So if he is performing that late into it, he's getting paid. But if he's not, we can unload him for short money.
You are limited.
Guys, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Guys, thank you.
All right. See you. Goodbye. You are limited with incentives, right, Lou? In Major League Baseball, there's certain things you can do.
Innings,
certain things
game
you can't.
Started.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Certain things you can't do, though.
I mean, yeah. Is that like a 6-year deal with a 3-year opt-out and load up the first three so we can opt out? Or what? I don't...
Just give him a 3-year deal then. How about that?
But as you're saying,
he's doing a good deal.
You could do it with, though. I believe you could do something like that with Chris Sale.
Would you want to?
Well, three years?
Dale said this today. He's like, I'm sure they're trying to work on something with Sale right now. And I'm with Keith. And he's like, why would you want to? Well, don't you want to see what he looks like? And if he gives you 6 months and postseason 7 months and he's electric, then pay him. You know, or it's just you're so far away from. Don't you really want to see what he looks like before you give him $25 million?
I don't think he's going to get $25 or $30 million.
If he goes to 6 months and wins a Cy Young or finishes second, then he will.
But then you go into that trap that everybody goes into. You're paying him for what he did in the past, instead of paying what you think he's capable of doing in the future. So a guy like Chris Sale, I think a guy like Chris Sale, you could probably come to me, listen, we're not going to do this whole song and dance. Okay, we want you to stick around for 3 years, and we're going to pay you for three. But we don't want to be tied to a 6-year, 7-year contract. So, okay, obviously your money's going to be guaranteed. It's about $18 million a year.
He'd never do that.
No, he'd never do that. But I disagree with...
So he won't do that, but you think he'll get 6 years anywhere else?
No.
Okay, so then what are we doing?
Well, it depends.
Tell me the year goes.
Lou said if he goes out, this year is everything for him when it comes to the contract, because I disagree with what you just said. The problem with him is that teams are going to evaluate him on his past. And the evaluation on the past is he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball until we get to July the 30th, and then suddenly from that point on he's a different guy.
But here's the thing:
they're going to be cautious about giving him that $30 million.
He's struggled with endurance or whatever you want to call it in the month of September, but And when you look at his last 5 years, last year he gave you 27 starts. Okay, we all know what it looked like. 32, 32, 31 before that, 26, 30. And so he struggled down the stretch, but he struggled still to finish fourth in Cy Young, second in Cy Young, fifth in Cy Young, fourth in Cy Young, third in Cy Young. So we see him sort of be a different guy in August and September, but the accumulation of it all is 200 innings, 220 innings, third, fourth in Cy Young every single year. So, yeah, he's going to get that. He's going to get that. Probably won't be here, depending on the year.
He's been the victim, by the way, of one of the worst contracts. When you look at his track record, over the last 3 or 4 years, he's been paid like $12 million, $13 million a year. When he's got teammates that are making $21 million, Porcello, $31 million in price. And he's been the best pitcher on these staffs the last few years. Vastly underpaid. Vastly underpaid. So I think if I'm him, and he has not put pressure on the team, he hasn't held out, he hasn't done any of this stuff. We've asked him the question a couple times, guys, about him, and he says, I'm fine with what I signed.
He signed a deal that guys just don't do anymore.
Right.
It was after his first year in Chicago, you know, where he went 17-8, 305, he was 23 years old. He signed a 7-year, $59 million deal. 7 years, 59. You know, I mean, talking average annual of 8.5, right?
Yeah.
And here he is at the end of it, and you talk about getting the most out of him. But he finished top five in the Cy Young every year of it.
He's been a steal.
He's been a bargain. He'll get screwed. Because his timing sucks.
He needs a big year.
I don't know if it matters.
It'll matter.
Not David Price money. It's not happening.
No.
It's not.
Let's see what he does in August. 30, 31,
32 by then.
If he dials it back and stays 93, 94, and I don't know if that was it or not, but, you know, stays away from 99 for a couple of months, which I think maybe hurt him. And he's sitting there, and he's still, you know, first, second, third, and Cy Young because he's got a 2.223 ERA. Yeah, at 30 years old, they'll be sitting there saying, 5 years, $150.
Yeah.
Might not be 7.217, but 30 a year.
It's interesting, though. People are right now more concerned about Sale going forward than Eovaldi, and yet Lou just gave you the rundown on Sale. Track record's been pretty damn good, and Eovaldi, other than the 3 weeks we were dealing with in the postseason, really doesn't have a track record. Here's Matt next up here on EEI. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. I just want to say you guys are the best on the airwaves, and I appreciate what you guys do day in and out. I'm kind of indifferent on Eovaldi. I think kind of shuts the door on Kimbrel. That being that, you know, we have under contract next year 8 starting arms. If you include like Johnson, Velasquez, and Wright, I mean, obviously I don't want them throwing every game, but you know, we're versatile. We have depth, and I think Eovaldi could very well, you know, if we have some closer problems, you'd have no problem kind of halfway through the season transitioning. And I also think that, you know, we'll probably go after some like
transitioning guys. Him to what? The closer,
like into a closer or a setup guy. I think absolutely. We have so
$17 million setup guy.
Well, I mean, whatever. We won the series based on depth last year.
Wait a minute. No, what you did
if we're struggling with that.
Now hold on. You played out the regular season, which you're going to do again with your starters, and then when you get into the postseason, the schedule changes. All bets are off. You take starters. You move them out to the bullpen.
Yes, yeah.
Everything changes, but for the regular season, no.
If problems arise, because we're not going to re-sign Kimbrel, because it's just we're not. I'd rather have Eovaldi for 4 years than Kimbrel for 6. I don't think we're going to re-sign Kimbrel, so we're going to go out and honestly, it's scary to say, they might give Matt Barnes a chance at the closer role. My heart's beating really fast thinking about it. Joe Kelly might sign a sweetheart deal, you know, or they might go out. I'd like to see them throw like a year of money at like Andrew Miller or Britton. Or, you know, Robertson, guys like that.
They probably still will.
I still think you go out after probably,
and I wouldn't be shocked if they go get one of these guys, whether it is Familia, Robertson, or whatever it is, and you know, one of them, whether it's Joe Kelly, and then take a shot on somebody else on that lower tier reliever, like an Adam Warren, who I actually liked in New York. So they're going to add probably a couple of relievers, but going back to the whole thing, the Red Sox won the World Series because of depth. I can make the argument they won because of lack of depth.
Yeah.
You know, they won because they didn't have a bullpen.
They had a jury
rig. So their starters were their bullpen.
Yeah.
So because they didn't have depth, they went with the plan of our starters are going to actually throw out of the bullpen, and they did. Right? I mean, they won because their starters turned into relievers.
Sale,
And obviously, Evaldi was key out of the bullpen. But the only reason they did it, because they didn't have the guys they could depend on.
They had a couple
of
pieces. I mean, Kelly was outstanding.
Right.
Barnes was great. Right. Brazier wasn't even really on a radar in the World Series because it was a bad matchup for him, I think. But the other ones, it was good because they were all righties. The other, you know, Yankees and Astros.
All right. 617-779-7937. Loose guy in Miami will give you an opportunity to hear him.
Oh,
he was
all
over the Patriots today.
Talk Sox right now with Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Punch up a little Twilight Zone music because that is what Hard Rock Stadium is for the New England Patriots. Now, we all know this. It's Serling-esque. And I'll give you some of the numerology on this because it's quite fascinating. What a failure.
Of all the things, like...
Well, here you go.
I love his sidekick.
The Patriots have an all-time record of 4-15 at Miami in the month of December. That's all time. I mean, that goes back to like Gino Cappelletti playing at the Orange Bowl. Belichick is 3-7 in Miami in the month of December. The Patriots have lost 4 of their last 5 matchups in this stadium. 2 of those losses cost the Pats a number 1 seed in the AFC. I forgot about the first one.
I'll give you guy credit because
stole our bit.
Well, he stole your bit.
He did steal your bit.
The
Twilight Zone.
I think I'm not nervous like we think alike, which is kind of making me scared.
Yeah, he's about 92 years
old.
He's got a Twilight Zone reference.
Give me a
Twilight Zone hasn't been on the
Twilight
air now
Zone.
In 40 years, right?
Dude, they're remaking everything. Twilight Zone is right around the corner.
But it's interesting.
What's his
he
name
brings
again?
This out.
The Forest?
Defoe. He's got a cool nickname.
Defoe.
Okay, go ahead. And whoever his sidekick is.
Yeah. Squeaky.
Is literally like those old school, like the big bulldog walks around with a little tiny dog that kind of jumps around and squeaks.
Yeah, I didn't know you put Brady in that group. I know you had Marino.
Oh, remember that guy,
That is his real voice, too, by the way.
But we do. We constantly spew out these unbelievable stats about the New England Patriots, their accomplishments, and when you put them in a certain predicament, they have an unbelievable record, 4-92-1. And we do this all the time. And I'm not sure there's another negative number you can come up with that jumps out at you more than Bill Belichick in Miami, New England Patriots in Miami, Tom Brady in Miami.
Tom Brady, 7-9.
There's nothing good there. And we think about it. If we ever come up with another stat that's really bad, like in Green Bay or in Denver or in Kansas, nothing like Miami.
Right.
Nothing. We always come up with these unbelievable, flowery, great.
I mean, there's no way to really explain it, you know, because I know yesterday we were sitting there, a guy called up. He's, no, this year's different. You know, they got to win this year. And, you know, they got Pittsburgh next week. Well, last year they went into Miami tied with Pittsburgh for the number one seed. At 10-2. And the following week, you had to go to Pittsburgh. So it's actually the exact same scenario.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, and they beat Baltimore. You lost to Miami, and you got beat. You got beat bad down there. It was Brady's. So you say, oh, Brady's, you know, the offense is clicking. Well, Brady was in the middle of an MVP season and had his single worst game of the season down in Miami. The quarterback rating was like 59.
Yeah.
So there is no explanation for why it happened, because it shouldn't have happened last year. That Dolphins team went lost out, I think, last year. At the end of the year, they lost their last 3. So it's like they're not great. They never really suck. They're always just okay. You should always beat them down there, especially last year. Where you'd won, I think, maybe 9 or 8, 9, 10 straight going in down there, and it just didn't happen. So you can see this year's different, but it's really not. It's very similar to last year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the exact same
schedule.
The quarterback
had a better year last year than he did this year.
There's no way. The thing is that they should not lose this game based on, like, we're throwing out all these stats and we're, you know, trying to make. Agreed. But, you know, fast forward and you sit there and go, look at the situation, because each one is different. You're looking at the situation, you're looking at the growth. I would say last year, you went on a 10-win run. You won 10 games in a row, and you sit there and you go to Miami and you just lay the egg. Brady had his worst performance of the year.
Right.
So you sit there and go, okay, whatever. This year, okay, you're looking at the way this team is built, what they've been through, how they've grown. All right. You would say that they should be in play for their best game, one of their best games of the year, after playing the Jets, after beating the Minnesota Vikings at home, a very good team, coming up with one of your best game plans on both sides of the ball. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's involved. You would say, all right, Let's add to it. Hey, we're not going to fall into this trap. We're not going to take a road trip down to Miami and get sucked into the environment.
But get
mentally just screwed because it's hot.
In the same respect that we sit there and throw these positive numbers. For an example, last week, history tells you the New England Patriots win that game. You guys, and you weren't alone, a lot of people looked at it and looked up the matchups. Third down, red zone defense. Oh, my God, this is not a good matchup for New England. But the history tells you that New England wins those type of games in December at home. So I don't know how. I'm looking, and it's even worse for Miami. Because we've already talked about Howard, who may not play in this game. We've already talked about Danny Amendola. They're already saying down there in Miami, he, by the way, is their leading receiver. He's got a knee problem, and even if he does play, he's going to be a shell of himself. You're looking, you're worried about Frank Gore, and yet, aren't you concerned about this game?
Just because of the past. That's it.
Right.
Because they have a better roster. They're healthier. They're better coached. But they are treating this like a Super Bowl. They are treating this. And the weird thing is that Adam Gase, and he openly says this, they take so much of their philosophy from the Patriots. Even their offense, as far as the way they like to check down.
Yeah.
All of it is Patriot-related, how they're trying to grow internally as far as their front office, as far as the way they look at draft picks. Everything they're stealing from the Patriots.
So did you go on radio with this guy this week?
I did not.
What was
I did
that?
Not
did you
get
go on
an
last
invite.
Year? Was it last
I've
year?
I've gone on like every year in the last
great
3 years.
You know?
The Ardway, Merloni, and Fourier show, although his name should get top billing, I would imagine, because he's carrying these guys on his back. And going to be with us out there in Houston again. Christian, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you know, I keep telling them that. You know what? My name should be first.
Should be good.
It should be the only name. Who are these other scrubs? Ordway, we've seen Ordway around. Who's Merloni?
Lou Merloni is a former baseball player for the Red Sox.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe his dad on the station or something.
Oh!
I don't know, but I'm sure.
That's low.
There.
That is low.
Yeah, that's my guy. So you guys good?
This is great.
You guys good friends?
No, but he has it out for you.
Calls him the Rhino.
He has it out. He has it out for Lou.
Let's see. It's Thursday. You know, we haven't had our friend.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe his dad on the station.
No, we haven't had our friend Christian Fourier on. We want to try to get him on. We've got his take and try to figure out why the Patriots struggle so
see,
much.
Lou is so sensitive. He gets so uptight that this guy rags on him.
This is his best impression, though.
Christian, how are you, my friend?
Nathan Evaldi on their mind, but they should be concerned Sunday.
That's depressing.
You know, it's supposed to rain.
Where's the Sinatra stuff where he was like comparing it to Sinatra?
I think
compared it to Sinatra?
In a rain, you got to believe the Dolphins can stop that high-powered offense.
Fourier show, although his name should get top billing.
Quite frankly, I don't think
I don't know what to do when he does this. Honestly, I don't know if we just have a conversation.
But this guy is right when it comes to the Dolphins' domination, and yet
up there probably this Maloney guy. he probably enjoys Capicola.
You look at these two teams and you say to yourself, how do the Patriots lose?
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, he had that yesterday. That's why he brought that up. He comes in with a big old Italian sub. I feel like having Italian.
Sounds like this guy probably lives
in an outstanding tight end.
Yeah, you know, and then this Woodward guy we've seen before. He, Super Bowl week, he rolls around there like he knows everything.
Yeah.
Like he started radio.
But they have all the stats to give them. The Dolphins.
Okay, I thought maybe his dad on the station or something. No, but
they have all the stats to give themselves confidence. Hey, listen, guys, I'm Adam Gase. Hey, look at this. The stats don't lie. The numbers don't lie, guys. We're good. When they come down here, you guys have your best game. Take that last game in New England. Throw it out the window. Actually, we're going to bury the football. That's what we're going to do.
I am concerned that Amendola's not going to be ready.
Yes, Amendola's a big key to this part. Yeah,
he knows they have all the secrets behind the curtain.
Yes. Yes, yeah, he knows how to beat the Patriots. He's going to give them he's going to show them their world.
Who are these other scrubs?
It's my guy. I like Defoe.
So this could be, by the way, you were talking last week about a signature game, and I didn't necessarily buy it. Not that they weren't playing a good team, but they were playing them at home, and that's what the Patriots always do. I would say this, to me, is a signature game.
This should be a blowout.
Yes, it should be. They should win by 2 touchdowns.
It should always be a blowout.
No.
Should it not be a blowout?
This one is tailor-made for, okay, we've been scared to death. Like, Bill has been throwing up these stats. I guarantee you he's throwing up video of last year. The last five games, they've won one road trip down in Miami in the last five games.
He is throwing that in their head. He is scaring them to death. They're going to come out crazy. But the problem is do you when do you what has to happen for that stadium and that atmosphere to get in Brady's head? Forget about everybody else's
the stadium.
Head.
The stadium's
Brady,
not a factor.
But no, but I guess it is though, Glenn.
No, it's
because it is. You get down there, it's hot. Well, it's not going to be hot though, right? It's going to rain.
It's going to be 82 though.
It's thunderstorms.
The temperature's going to be very humid and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Remember they had a game earlier this year? They had to
No, Miami played a game.
Didn't the game last against Tennessee like 14 hours or something like that?
Oh, was that when they called?
Yes.
They postponed it? Well, I know Miami played.
No, they didn't postpone it. They just delayed it.
Well, because they have to. That's right. That's right.
And they came back and finished the game.
Yeah. There was another one where the University of Miami played a game on a Saturday night, and it rained the entire game. The field got soaked beyond belief. They almost canceled that one.
Really?
I don't remember which. I can't remember which game it was. But
I can't. But, you know, they should. Last year, that team had lost five straight games, the Dolphins. Five straight games. They went out. They actually beat Denver at home because they had two defensive touchdowns and two safeties in one game against the Broncos. Two safeties and two defensive touchdowns. So they beat the Broncos the week before. And I can guarantee you, we sat here and said, this team is not good. They lost five straight. Denver crapped themselves. Simeon sucks. So they had 16, 18 points defensively. That's why they beat Denver. They're going to walk through this team. They're chasing the Pittsburgh Steelers, so they got to play next week. They're fighting for a number one seed. No way they go down to Miami and stub their toe. This will be a blowout. And they lost 27-20.
Yeah. And Brady
you
sucked.
You can't explain it.
Yeah.
Well, you
I think
can.
A big part of it is Brady, though, guys. I really do. Well, I think a big part of it is Brady.
And that's
not like Brady has good games down there and the defense, you know, gives up a lot of points or whatever. It's usually Brady struggles.
And Teddy mentioned it yesterday. And I remember the game like it was yesterday, the Troy Brown, because I remember Steve Burton somehow being like in the picture in the hallway at Gillette. Like Steve Burton just happened to be like covering the game on a sideline, and it's like a three-piece suit, and it was like 90 degrees. Anyways,
was that him running up and down?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I was like, "Why is he on our pitch?" Anyways, yeah. And I remember like it was like this monkey lifted off our back. Like we actually went down to Miami and won. I mean, in crazy fashion, right? Overtime win, Troy Brown bomb, and everything. It was nuts. It was like and then I remember we ended up playing them again like the next year and lost. So I don't know what it is.
See,
I don't get it.
Teddy talked about this, about good teams go and win on the road. Okay? Tough teams, mentally tough, physically tough teams go and win on the road. They need to win the next two games, in my opinion, just to give them that confident feeling that when they go on the road, if they have to, in the postseason, and if you win these two games, maybe you don't even have to go on the road. But they need to develop that right now. 3-3? For a really good team, a team that you think can make it to the Super Bowl, 3-3 in the road.
So they're not tough. And they're not mentally tough because
they're good at home. They're good at home.
Oh, it's easy to be good at home. Everybody's cheering for you. And I would say usually they always have the Patriots travel well. The Green Bay Packers travel well. Any of these cold, Midwestern towns where they have a football team and you get an excuse to go to Florida, Houston, L.A., you name it, San Diego, Oakland, Tennessee. That was a huge game for local Patriot fans. It's like they looked at the schedule and said, listen, let's all go down to Tennessee, right? That'll be a fun trip. Go honky-tonking, play some music. You know, Little Earl went there.
Yeah.
He went there this year.
I love that.
It was a great town, a great environment.
Great town.
Go to Tootsie's.
Tootsie's. Awesome.
Go to I'm sure there's some old museum.
So this is your.
You can like go see.
I take it you didn't see the museum.
So Lil Earl, this is your show me game?
Yes, this to me is a statement game.
More than, because yours was
more
Minnesota.
So than Sunday, I said to you, and I like them to win that game mainly because this team seems to follow the course of history. This has been a nightmarish place for them. And I'll guarantee you exactly what Christian's saying. Belichick is bringing out everything he can find to basically say, you guys suck down there. You guys can't handle the weather. You guys can't handle, who knows whatever. Can't handle the teal uniforms. You can't handle anything.
That mean-looking dolphin on the helmet.
Really? Whatever. They suck down
there, Denver was
Luke.
The same
they
way.
They suck in Miami.
Yeah,
there's no reason for it. You just gave last year. There was no reason they shouldn't have blown that team out.
Denver was the same way, though. Denver had the same, I don't know, the Patriots had the same issues with Denver as they did
Miami.
Denver was a little different, and you'd get a funky play in Denver. One,
well,
punt.
I mean,
who was the punt return guy that fumbled the ball a couple years ago?
We don't remember him.
Yeah.
And no,
was it
Harper or
yes, Harper? Thank
was
you,
that
Chris
him?
Harper. Yes. So, but you've had
no, but that was
individual plays.
I know, but
in
still,
Denver that screw up.
The you know the stigma attached to Mile High and what is it now? Joe Robbie. What is it now? Hard Rock.
Cafe, yeah.
I went way back. The stigma attached was with both those teams. No other stadium. What are you laughing at? Joe Robbie?
No. I don't know. I'm sorry. That was just something popped up my computer.
But wait a minute. This is supposed to be a tomato.
You're having a me moment.
Right? I am.
Supposed to be a tomato canteen, right?
It's not on the road.
This is a tomato canteen.
It is, but it isn't.
Right? This is a tomato.
Yeah, no. Not on the road.
Are you going to share this with us at some point?
I will. He will. We'll go right back to the phone calls. More on this. More on Eovaldi signing with the Red Sox next.
These other scrubs. We've seen Ordway around. Who's Maloney? Okay, I thought maybe his dad owned the station or something.